Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Yo, my man Max 611's, mine's like a weapon. Big brother R, off the new bubbles in R. New York, we walk the walk and we talk the talk. Got some serious sports fans who bark from the heart. Sophisticated talk for your modern day fan. Your number one resource for your fantasy draft. The illest sports show, all you cats got to know. Already we the greatest, imitators got to go. We in the paint, someone joining the debate. We came to shake the state to the heroes out of space. Where opinions are expressed with rugged intellect. Put it down to represent for the team you love the best. The Knicks, the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, the Johnnies, the Orangemen, the Huskies, the Jets. And yes, the Islanders, the Devils, and Rangers. When the East is in the house, oh my God, danger.
We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to start the combo that'll keep you up to date. Yeah, we in the paint, got the game on smash. Put the whole sports world on blast. We in the paint, getting hot, cause we turning up a notch. On the streets with the realest sports talk. We in the paint, meet the ass in the fields tonight. Keep it real, nothing sweet, nothing nice. We in the paint.
In the paint, the realest show in sports. Every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. The call-in number is 347-426-3634. Starring Mark Cunningham as Max 611 and Rodney Jones as Big Brother R.
All right, here we go. It's Friday night, and the paint is in the house. The call-in number is 347-426-3634. Tonight, we have a special edition starting time at 8 p.m., which it is. Maybe I'll one after 8, Eastern Standard Time. Let me give you those digits once again. 347-426-3634. Good evening, all. I'm the host slash moderator. My name is Rodney Jones. I'm in the house, as well as the co-host and also the creator of the show. That being Mr. Mark A. Cunningham, a.k.a. Max 611. He's here live. Let's get it going. How you doing tonight, bro?
Hey, I'm good, brother. I got a couple of things I want to get off my chest real quick, if you permit me.
Oh, please, you go right ahead. You have time.
Okay, one, Mike Schmidt. You made a comment about Hispanic ball players in the major leagues, in Major League Baseball, not being building blocks. Jerry Remy, former scrub for the Boston Red Sox. Yes, he was a scrub. He wasn't that good. Anybody could have played second base.
Well, I think I heard that guy.
Yeah. He's nobody. But he is an announcer for the Boston Red Sox now. He also made a comment about Tanaka having his interpreter come to the mound with the pitching coach during the Yankee game. You had no problem with interpreters when you had Japanese ball players on the Red Sox and they had their translators when you were winning World Series. And both these men, you know, they recanted and apologized because social media, ESPN, they put them on blast. I don't accept your apologies. You're both full of shit. Fuck you.
Oh, ouch.
For your entitlement.
Okay.
Stop it. There are 30% of Major League Baseball is Hispanic right now. And there's a rule allowing the interpreter to come to the mound. Also, Jerry, you in your apology, you said it was a late game. It was late. No, you were wrapped up in your entitlement. No, Jerry. You get no pass here with Mac. He was being entitled, and listen, it's a rule. They're trying to win the game, and English isn't his first language as his pitching coach and his manager, so shut the fuck up. And I have one more rant. If you may allow me.
Please.
That fat corn liquor drinking pork eating dude, Jason Whitlock, Shitlock, whatever his name is. Dude, don't speak on race. Don't ever do it again. And you're bad at talking about sports and LeBron. Those comments you made were ridiculous, you clown. Stop it. Please support In the Paint. It's the realest show in sports. Thank you.
Exactly. I agree. I agree with that statement right there. And also the one you said about Jason Whitlock, you know, Mr. Bojangles. you know. I'm just saying. Listen, I see we got some calls out there. Anytime you guys want to chime in, just hit one on your phone's dial pad. Again, press one. We'll bring you in live with the panel discussion that we got going on here. All right, let's get into the show. We got a few things we're going to talk about. One, before we get to the NBA Finals talk, let's talk about a particular situation in the NFL and how it relates to Black America.
Right.
You know, possibly boycotting, okay, the NFL for the obvious blackballing of quarterback Colin Kaepernick. I see you call with your hand up. I'll bring you in shortly, I promise. Yeah, let's get into this. Should Black America, you know, we love football. There's no question about it. We're big, huge football fans, very passionate about it, great sport and everything. But however, should we be boycotting the NFL this season because of the treatment that Colin Kaepernick has received? I'm going to let you start this off, my brother.
Right. Okay, first of all, there was a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, in fact, there was a protest in front of the NFL headquarters here in New York City. I was there. Former NBA player Etan Thomas was there. There were radio people there. TV was there. A lot of people who were in the streets, you know, protesting different things for our cause as Black Americans. They were also there. And it was a small, intimate turnout. It could have been much better as me and you know, we're doing protests. People will get on Twitter and on Facebook and other social media. Yeah, I'm with you. Because, you know, Etan put it out there. That's why I was aware. And, you know, people were like, yeah, I'm going to be there. It was small. I think the people who set it up, they're going to continue doing this, and they're going to hopefully it gets bigger. And yes, if Black Americans want their voices heard and we want to exercise some power, this is one way to start it and let the NFL know and let other people know who have corporations and such, and they're fed off of Black American dollars. Yeah, it's time for us to say, okay, Colin protested peacefully. Now he can't have a job, but Ryan Fitzpatrick had a job. He got a token interview with the Seattle Seahawks, who then in turn signed some dude named Austin, who's a bum, as a backup. And let me see, Josh McCown got a job. There's a lot of bums that got jobs. I mean, when I look at Colin Kaepernick's resume, I see a Super Bowl appearance. I see some NFC Championship appearances. I see him being a All-Pro at the Pro Bowl. Then people say his skills diminished. I wouldn't say his skills diminished. What was he playing with on the San Francisco 49ers the last 2 years after the stupid GM who was gone forced out a good coach in Harbaugh? His skills really haven't diminished. It's what he's playing around, and he does have a skill set. It's not the perfect NFL skill set, as he's a running quarterback who does have an arm. Much like Russell Wilson, he would have fit Seattle's system, I believe. So, yeah, as Black Americans, we need to exercise our rights, let our voices be heard, and make this move on the NFL and make them feel some pain. You know, you signing bum quarterbacks, you got killers, drug abusers, wife abusers. They got second chances, and they're still playing. And I'm done.
Well, very well said. You know, one thing about this Kaepernick situation that had me tripping with the whole Seattle Seahawks interest, Coach Pete Carroll, he had said something that was just so very insulting to Colin, and also insulting to people's intelligence. as far as him saying that he felt that Colin was too good to be a backup.
Mm-hmm.
That's insulting.
Mm-hmm.
That's insulting to Kaepernick. That's insulting to the fans in general. I'm like, are you freaking serious right now with that stupid-ass comment? Really? Really? And now my thing, let me just take on Black America. As I am, you know, a black man of a certain age, I feel that for this man, and he knew what he was doing. He knew this was going to happen.
Right.
He right. totally knew what was going to happen. The minute he took that knee, you know, during the national anthem, which I'm not exactly angry at, but he knew the consequences of this, okay? And for this man to put his time, his effort, his money into backing up what he stands for, okay, and mm-hmm. and to not be employed by any team in the NFL, you understand, and lay down his livelihood for us, okay, for the police brutality and the inequality that we get in this country, and for us to just go back to watching football on Sundays is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You have to back this man up. Period. End of story. There's no other option. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that people take up the mantle and boycott the NFL this year. And not because I'm planning on not watching it. You understand?
So,
that's just me personally. I know I'm not going to at all. Not one. You understand? And I love the game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no
right.
way. There's no way. Because this is something that affects you as men and women of color. You understand?
Right.
And you, the time is now to take a stand. It has to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Why not now? Why not at this moment?
Right.
You understand? And with that being said, I'm gonna cut myself short. I want to get these two callers in. We got with the hands up. And they're very patient. So let's get this going. The last four digits of this caller is 5813. Welcome to In the Paint. Please introduce yourself and where you're calling from.
David Sanford from Hollis, Queens. What's up,
brother,
what's
going on,
happening?
David? All right.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, David.
I'm doing
peace,
well.
My brother.
What's up, man? Peace, mm-hmm. brother.
David, before you get started, let me bring in the other call. I'm gonna let you start it off, but I just want to bring this other caller in as well. Okay?
Okay.
The last four digits is 5331. Welcome to In the Paint. Please introduce yourself. Where are you calling from?
Yo, what up, fam? This is Moody. Also known as Jeff Robinson from Facebook.
There he is.
Hey,
what's up,
Moody? What up, family? What's going on?
Hey, look.
Yo, real quick,
hey, Moody, listen.
What's up?
I think you got. I think your connection is kind of like spotty. You know.
Let me try to fix that for you.
How we doing right now?
Very.
Right, that sounds good.
That's better. Yeah.
Okay, that's better. Yo, look, I'm gonna let y'all go. I'm gonna speak when spoken to. But first of all, let me salute. You know, I salute y'all guys all the time. But yo, let me salute my man David before he start talking. Yo, one thing I love, man, I love a cat that can go at it with you and just keep it grown up and sports. And
oh,
yo,
man,
this dude is so
that,
awesome,
brother.
Man. So I'm looking because me and him was on FB the other day, like 15 hours debating
yeah.
about y'all. You know what I mean? And my man just keep it 100, but he keep it family. So I appreciate that. But look,
yeah.
I'm gonna speak when spoken to, man. It's very interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no doubt.
Appreciate that.
So David, take mm-hmm. the floor, brother. The floor is yours, my dude.
Okay, thank you. So a couple of points. First thing is I definitely support the boycott. That said, I'm really interested in hearing how the NFL is going to respond. Because that's really going to be the litmus test for me. Right now, we're talking amongst ourselves. And I'm sure the NFL has gotten wind of this. But do they respect us enough to address this issue before it gets to the first game of the season when people start actually turning their TVs off? If they want to come to the table about this and address the issue, Kaepernick is one part of the issue, but it is the disrespect for us as black people. That is the bigger issue of this. And we as the black community have to back up Kaepernick. We want our stars, we want our entertainers to speak out for us, and we criticize them when they go silent. But when this man has put his livelihood on the line, for a cause that is not just about him. It's about all of us. And if we turn our backs on him and we go right back to the people that have disrespected him, then we don't deserve Colin Kaepernick. And that's really my take on that.
Okay. Okay. Well said, brother. Well said. Let me get my man Big Jeff in the house. You know, my man Moody. Let me hear some of your thoughts on this, my dude.
Well, no doubt. You know, I agree. But, you know, I wanted to say a couple of things about Kaepernick. Listen, the one person that we have not heard complain about his livelihood or complain about the sacrifices that have been made is Colin Kaepernick. When you do something, and that's why I'm not, you know, listen, when you do something from the bottom of your heart, it doesn't matter what it is. When you do something from the bottom of your heart and it's sincere, you're going to ride with that conviction. This man has not complained about his money. Now, I was going back and forth with a very emotional young man yesterday, and he seemed to believe that the bottom line is the money. And I said, well, by our standards, I can't speak for you guys, Colin Kaepernick is rich. Yeah. Colin Kaepernick is not broke. He doesn't work at the Kroger, all due respect. He doesn't work at Burger King, all due respect. He's rich. Mm-hmm. This man is doing what his heart, what his mind, and what his soul is telling him to do. And I stand behind him for that alone because you don't get that too often. A lot of times when we're trying to be activists and whatever, we find that we do that sympathy thing. Oh, look what I've done. I did this for y'all. He's not saying anything. The man is just doing more. You know what? The more they talk about him, the more he stays quiet and continues to lead with his action. So I'm riding with Colin for that. But now let me say this. Here's the truth of the matter. Black people in general, in law, I'm going to say in large, and if I'm wrong, Lord, let me be wrong. Black people in large are not going to stop watching football.
I totally agree. Yep. Yeah.
That is the problem. The problem with us is we love to have fun. We got to have fun by any means necessary, no matter how much we're disrespected. We got to have fun. This is why you see black guys standing online in all white clubs that don't want to let them in, and they're still standing there, you know, because I got to have fun. Forget about the injustice. I want to get into the hot spot. I want to have fun. Now, I've been talking to quite a few people about this whole situation. They're like, dude, you're not making a dent when you're not watching. Because I had said from the gate, I said, well, I'm not watching football. I said, well, let me tell you something. I'm doing this because this is what I feel I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
See, we can try to make a mark as a unit. We can try to make a mark as a community. But everything has to start from man to man. You got to do what you think is right. And then you got to get with like-minded people. I'm not trying to make a dent in the owner's pockets. I would love for that to happen. But for right now, you're talking to the guy that's addicted to Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwiches, right? I want y'all to repeat this real quick. I'm addicted to Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwiches. I found out that this Christian organization was backing a demonic individual like Donald Trump. And guess what? The minute I found that out, that how much money they were putting behind Donald Trump, I have not had a Chick-fil-A spicy sandwich since Donald Trump was running for president. That's how serious I am about stuff. I miss that sandwich like I miss a certain young lady I used to know, bro. But let me tell you something.
Okay.
I can live without that sandwich, and I can live without football. I played football. And as far not pro football, but I played enough football. I can live without this 3 to 6 to 9 hour event per day with multiple games. I can live without it. If I can't live without a sandwich or a football game or a pair of sneakers or a car or something to stick up for my principles, I really got to question myself as a man. So in closing on that, because I think I'm going to end up calling you guys back if I may when y'all get around to Golden State. But listen, in closing on that, I want everybody to remember, you have to make a decision who you are and what you are. And you have to remember that when all of this is over, when another season is over and we've tuned in and we've watched sports and we've supported the sports, it is another L for, quote-unquote, black people. Every time that we succumb to our wishes for fun, every time we succumb to we want to watch sports, we got to go to the club. We go, we patronize, we give business, and we find ourselves in the same position. And what do? We complain about it. We whine about it. You got to make a decision right now. Turn the football game. You are not going to die this year not watching professional football. And I know some of you guys have been athletes. Let me tell you, the racism in sports is not just pros. The reason that we hear about it in the pros is because you're dealing with millionaires. For those of us that have played a lot of rec ball in high school and in college ball and stuff like that, you guys know a thing or two about race. I could give you quite a few racist stories. The sport is racist because in the beginning of any sport in America was only made for white people. My daughter is a gymnast.
Yep.
And we would travel around to Kentucky and all over the place. And, yo, I was like, yo, I should have brought a gun, son. I think they looking at this child like she doesn't have a right to be. It's a racist society. It's a racist world. Make a stand. But I'm going to tell y'all right now, for every one of your brothers that are and sisters that are watching football this season, more power to you. Enjoy yourself. Absolutely enjoy yourself. Just remember, when shit hits the fan, just like when you don't vote, you won't have much to say. We won't be paying you too much attention. And you're going to be a Jason Whitlock type. Go get your Jason Whitlock on. And I'm going to go ahead on, and I'm going to stick to my core principles, and I'm going to boycott this NFL season with no – I won't have any problem doing it to speak of.
Blessings. Word. Blessings. Well said,
sir.
Jeff.
Yes, sir. And well if it's said. All right, fellas, man, I may call you – I'm listening, but I may call you up back for that Golden State if y'all allow
brothers. And Jeff, before you go, I want to just say this is why this brother and I, we can go at it out of respect for each other, and we may not always agree, but I definitely respect where he's coming from.
No doubt.
And he teaches me some things as well.
Yeah, exactly. Likewise. And let me tell you, it's my honor to have bumped into not only this show, but the listeners of the show, man. I'm surrounded by kings and queens, and I appreciate y'all guys for that, man. Real talk.
Hey, man, we appreciate
you. We appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll
hear from me
said,
in a little
Jeffrey.
Bit when y'all get to Golden State, man.
Okay, we got that soon.
I got to talk about
hey,
KD.
Listen.
I got to talk about
let me. let me bring another caller. They got their hands up, so we're going to do that right
y'all
now.
Y'all be good. Peace.
Peace, brother. The caller's last four digits is 4210. Right, welcome to In the Paint. Hello?
Hey.
4210.
Big E.
Yeah, hey, Big E. How you doing, brother?
How you doing?
What's doing well, man. Doing? Hope all is well.
Good to be here. Love to hear you, brother.
All right, brother. Hey, man. All right, so let's have some of your thoughts on this particular topic.
Oh, man. Let me say first and foremost, I'm all for the boycott of the NFL because I already started my own personal boycott of the NFL once, you know, they decided that ever since Peyton Manning took the biggest, most embarrassing blowout loss in a Super Bowl history, that ever since then they was going to flip the script and no black quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl ever since. So I was already on that. I mean, you look at the following season, and I remember, man, all those guys that I worked with when Peyton Manning took that loss, that blowout, that beating by Seattle, and then the following year you had them go back, and then, you know, that's been covered ad nauseum, so I ain't going to go into that again. But, you know, the touchdown where he could have just fell in and they would have won the Super Bowl, but they did that. And then, you know, Cam, and then he got there, and you know, first they were going to break the record for, you know, what was it, 17 wins, that Dolphins team. And then they played Atlanta, beat the hell out of Atlanta, and then they played the same team 3 weeks later in the regular season and then got whooped like they didn't know how to play. Then they get to the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden, you know, Cam act like, you know, he don't know football 1-on-1, so the switch was in that, you know, black quarterbacks is not going to win. And I definitely got that brother's back. I mean, it's a shame that this man can't get a job in NFL when you got Roethlisberger sitting up here dating girls from Hannah Montana concert looking around the corner lurking. I mean, so yeah, man, I'm all in. I don't want to take up all the talk time, so I'll just leave it at that. But I am definitely all in.
Okay, Biggie. I want to thank you, man. Yeah, listen, and that was also well said by you. So I truly appreciate that, man.
Thank you.
You know, it's no question, my dude. It's just a shame, man. Like I said, this country, you know, and like my man Moody had said about the racism in sports and whatnot. I mean, you know, it's obviously too damn prevalent. And I gotta tell you, you know, if you're gonna watch it, have fun. But just, you know, just remember, man. Just remember, you know, the time to take a stand is now. You gotta start. You can't be disrespected. You know what I'm saying? It's a slap in your face. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous, man. We got to take a stand. That's just what it is.
Exactly. You know, that's a great point that the brother just made about the black quarterbacks. I'd like to add to it that I think this past Super Bowl, Atlanta was just too damn black a city. Because they just said, because they had that thing. I don't know how. Something had to happen. Because they just pulled the plug on it and said, nah, these black people are too happy down there in Atlanta. So we're going to bring all Captain America back up there and give the Patriots another Super Bowl. But, you know, that's just the way things are going. But I definitely know something's up with that. And then they turned Cam Newton. Cam turned into Pam. And so I don't know.
For real, man. You know? It ain't make no damn sense, man. But I hope and pray. But probably just like Moody said, you know, more than likely – there'll be plenty of blacks watching football this year. You know, it's a good sign.
I know.
You know, and that's the shame of it.
Yeah, but I think that's also the point that the brother was making about, you know, having fun. You know, I work at a high school. And, you know, I got kids that we got Regents next week. And these kids still running around here. They're looking to have a good time. And they're not focusing on what they need to focus on. You can have fun, but you have fun after the work is done. And they don't get that part of it. And are you really having fun when you're in a place that someone is disrespecting you?
Exactly.
And you know, and I had that conversation with a young man today. You know, I keep talking to him, and he's running up and down the hallway. And I said, you know, you disrespected me. And he said, how am I disrespecting you? I said, disrespect doesn't mean that you're calling me out of my name. Disrespect is me telling you every single day where you're supposed to be and get there, and then you continue doing the wrong thing. I said, you're telling me that you don't respect me. And so they've got to understand that football, the NFL, does not respect us.
Exactly.
It is the modern-day plantation, and they get 4 or 5 good years out of these guys. And then send them on their way to the next one. I mean, the whole draft setup looks like a slave auction. And so now you got one man who dares to challenge that. And that's what the beauty of it is, the fact that they can say all they wanted about him, and he still continues, and as the brother said, he's not making a sound about it. But then that's the draft plus. That's where we come in. We need to be their voice. And our voice is on the show by not watching. And I think even if half of us continue to watch football, again, I just wanna hear what the NFL has to say to the half of us that are choosing not to watch football. Do you care about us? Do you care about black viewership enough to address it and say, you know, we've got a situation here, and we've got a large portion of our viewership that is unhappy with our product. Now, do you care enough about that to address it, or do you just say the hell with them, and I'll just serve the other half that are watching us? Because that's going to tell it all for me. How you feel about me is through your actions. Do you think it's worth coming to the table and discussing this? And what are the issues that people have? Whether you feel that's legitimate or not, it's legitimate to me. So do you value me enough to come to the table with me and say, well, let's sort this out. Let's see what can we do to make
exactly.
things better. You know, so right. so maybe Kaepernick will never play again. But there's another young man that's going to come up there, and he feels the same way as Kaepernick does.
Yep.
So how do you feel about him if he decides that he's going to take a knee, or he's not going to pledge allegiance and all of that other stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
yep.
so I'm just curious to see where this if this conversation can go anywhere. And if it doesn't,
right.
then that's telling me all that I need to know. Because that's telling me that the hell with the NFL and the hell with them.
Can I add on, before you bring in the caller? I just got one small point I want to make.
No problem, but I'm going to move on to, to the finals talk after this.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay. This is the point I want to make in what David was saying, and well said, David. The New York Giants owner, we know the New York Giants have been one of the more progressive teams in the NFL, right? Your team is set here in New York City, which, in all intents and purposes, in New York, is what America lies about. New York is a melting pot. There's so many different cultures and races here, but you chose for one time to pick the side. You chose to pick the white side. You chose to pick the white people's side who you said wrote you letters and said they wouldn't – you value them more than you value me and you and R and other people on here.
Exactly. And
with that said, if he was smart, he wouldn't have said anything. He could have kept that to himself, and we wouldn't know about it. But since I know about it now, I'm going to blast you every chance I get with my forum.
Yep.
And also
– there you go.
Also – I'm not watching the Giants this year. I'm not watching football this year. I can cool out with my lady now. Because she's always texting me, is that damn football on? Because she's not a sports person. So.
Right,
this
right,
will
right.
be a lot of happy wives and girlfriends.
Exactly.
Right.
And before you break, can I just say one quick thing about what Mark just said? I don't think. You know, I don't even give Mara the credit of being ignorant or stupid about it. I think the fact is that when you say those things, you just don't care. That's what you're telling me.
I
it's not that you don't know the ramifications of what you're saying. You do know, and you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, to me, that's the ultimate slap in the face. It's the one thing to not know better. It's another thing to know better and do the opposite. That's it.
Right.
Hey, Brother R, can I get 30 seconds?
Oh, yeah. Please, go ahead, Biggie.
Real quick, because I know you want to go move on to Golden State, so I'll keep it real brief and quick. Agree with everything you brothers are saying. Sports is, as we all know, is a microcosm of life. And when we get to the point where, like you said, that's an excellent idea to boycott the NFL, and you look at the larger scope of life, you look at the movie Hollywood, for example, you know, and all the way they portray us and Django and 12 Years a Slave. And, you know, you got black people who actually go pay to see these movies where you hearing us call the N-word 200 or 300 times, and they only showing us in our worst conditions where, you know, there's over 35, almost 4,000 years of recorded history out there. There's more to us than just being slaves. But You can't pay Jews to watch a movie made by Germans talking bad about them and treating them bad. You can't pay them to watch that. But we will go see it. And, I mean, you know, so I'm with you all the way 100%. Like I said, I didn't want to hold you up. We're going to your next topic, brother.
It's all good, brother.
Of course,
I appreciate you and your thoughts, of course. So I appreciate that. I see you calling with the hand up. I'm going to bring you in shortly, I promise. Thank you for being patient. We're going to move on because I know to sweep, or should I say, I can't even speak. To be swept or not. That's what I meant to say. Tonight, 9 o'clock. It's game 4, Warriors going against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Obviously, Cleveland is down 3-0. Man, wow, a lot can happen if they get swept. There's talk of LeBron leaving Cleveland yet again. For some reason, you know, two teams in L.A., the Clippers and the Lakers, are supposed to be spots rumored. Let's get into that, man. Let's get into the Warriors' dominance over the Cavaliers, which I think is personally bullshit, but that's all right. That's another story. matter of fact, I see what I'm going to do, if you guys don't mind. I'm going to let this caller come in and give their thoughts, so we're going to bring them in right now. 3103, welcome to In the Paint. Please introduce yourself. Where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. My name is Mike. I'm calling from Minnesota. I just wanted to comment on, like, sort of the other perspective on Kaepernick, seeing that you all sort of took one side. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say this is this goes back to what Jordan said back in the 90s when he was questioned about politics. And he talked about how both Republicans buy shoes as well. And what he understood is when it comes to business, and you're talking about business, not politics, and your goal is to make money, it behooves you not to alienate, a large portion of your, potential market. And I feel like oftentimes what happens is that the media, which obviously has a left-leaning bias, automatically gets up in arms whenever anyone does something that they feel like is in defense of conservatives or is supportive of the right side of the country. And I think oftentimes people forget that the country is basically a 50-50 split, or you could say maybe a 40-40 split, and 10% of people who would consider themselves independent or in the middle. And so I think you have to remember that, a lot of the sponsors, a lot of the corporate, people who buy a lot of corporate suites and pay a lot of money to these teams, many of them are conservative. And so, to sit there and say that, these owners don't have to take that into consideration, I think is kind of irresponsible. And it sort of makes it seem like only the liberal, worldview or the liberal view on an issue is the only correct one, which I don't think is the case. I think both sides have legitimate arguments. And as someone, as an independent as myself, you can see the merits on both sides,
I don't think it's a partisan issue. I don't think it's a partisan issue when it comes to the demeaning of black lives in this country, man. I don't think nobody even took it down that road, to be honest with you. So I'm kind of lost at the point that you're trying to make. And furthermore, the position that he took is much bigger and much larger than a political issue or what have you. So I'm not under. You're kind of losing me on that a little bit, man.
Yeah. Can I just say I hear what you're saying, but I think that you have to also understand that how this whole thing started. Kaepernick decided on his own not to stand during the anthem, and then they asked him why, and then he told his side of it why. So it didn't become political until people took offense to him opting not to stand during the anthem, which was his right to do. And so that's when it became politicized. And then you heard all the outcry from the right about him being disrespecting the troops, and they brought all those other things into it. Meanwhile, he just continued to say why he made the decision, and that it was that was his personal decision, which he had a right to do. And so I get the whole thing about from the business aspect, but either way, you're alienating another side too. So if you cater to the right and those corporations and so forth, you're alienating people on our side of this issue too, and it's much bigger to them to us than it is to them, because it is about our lives. They may lose some money, but we're losing our lives. And this is what he did, he's speaking out against, and why he will not stand during the anthem to a country that has been disrespectful to us. And so business people, they may feel upset and angry about it, but what are they really angry about? They're angry about a flag, a song. We're angry about getting shot and killed by police.
Oh, no, that's not totally why. For example, I've heard a lot of their arguments, and many of the things they base it on is he has a view that's very common amongst a lot of people on the left, which I observe, which is that fundamentally anti-American, and along with that, somewhat of an anti-capitalist view. And what they do is, when they look at America, and this is where I see a lot of people make the mistake of it. When people judge America and the things America's done in the past, and maybe what things are going on today, is they don't actually judge America in comparison to other actual countries. They judge it against this like sort of ideal concept of what a free and just nation should be. But when you actually look at America compared to all the nations that have ever existed, especially all the, you know, the dominant nations, the pinnacle nations, compared to most of them, really, it's basically, it grades higher than all of them. I mean, you talk about slavery or you talk about racial injustices. That's common in every single society worldwide throughout the history of mankind. But what no one seems to talk about is the fact that it was America and England that actually ended the institution of slavery. Nobody else did. No one else even cared, because it was so, it's been ingrained throughout human civilization since the very dawn of mankind. And again, that's why I feel like people on the left, they seem to judge history as of, you know, like maybe the last 100 years, and not look at things on the bigger scope and say to themselves, well, yes, America has these negative things, but at the end of the day, you and I as common citizens, we have a level of individual freedom and liberty and economic opportunity that simply just did not exist for over 90% of the people that have ever lived on this planet. That's just the simple truth. I mean, regardless, I mean, you have to be honest.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question? You personally, do you feel that Kaepernick's stance was justified? The position that he took, do you feel that that was justified, in your opinion? That the weight of what he was trying to do and the way he went about it silently without, you know, causing a scene or, you know, making it disruptive or whatever, just being quiet and just not standing, do you feel that what he was trying to accomplish, the bigger picture here, what we're talking about, do you feel, in your opinion, that he was justified in doing that? Did you agree with that position he took?
Yeah, his actions were totally justified. I respect everything that he did and the risk that he took with that. But when it comes to what
Owens
actually
saying, why are we talking about money?
But when it comes to the actual case he was making, it wasn't really based on real information and data, because this goes with the whole. When you talk about the issue between the black community and police, there's a lot of misinformation in that regard, and a lot of things people don't take into account. For example, if you use a 20-year sample size, let's say from 1991 through 2011, right, the 20-year sample size, during that time period, when you ask them, when you say, well, how many African-Americans were shot by police officers? It was around just over 1,000. And then if you were asked, well, how many white people were shot during that same time period by police officers, and it was more than 2,000. And you look at the number of actual interactions between an African-American male and a particularly a white police officer, but police officers in general. And then you actually look at the number of quote-unquote times when situations escalate to where force is used or when a weapon is drawn or shots are fired. It's a very tiny percentage of those interactions. And so as somebody who, like, you know, I grew up in a really rough part of the town where I'm from, where there was a lot of gang violence in the 90s. And I saw a lot of this firsthand, where people don't take into consideration the sort of interactions you have when you're talking about young African-American men and police officers in the inner cities of most of the major cities in America, where they're dealing with a lot of young guys who are getting involved in drug dealing, gang banking, all type of criminal activity. And most of their encounters with the police are very hostile, extremely hyper, you know,
Let me interject.
That's another show.
Let me interject real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Kaepernick isn't talking about that. He's talking about innocent men being shot by cops. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to end.
Okay. Well, right. How many are you talking about in that regard? We're talking about how many people?
So let me ask you this, since we're talking about numbers. How many is okay? How many is all right?
No, what I'm saying is, of course, even one is more than they should have.
So,
the issue is the idea that it's a systematic problem, that this widespread epidemic, it's not an epidemic. It's a very, very rare occurrence when you have an innocent black or innocent African-American person shot by a police officer. It's very rare. And when they do happen, it garners so much media hype, it doesn't get overlooked. I mean,
let's be honest.
Well,
it does get overlooked. Cops don't go to jail.
No, it doesn't.
Cops don't get charged for murder.
No, cops don't go to jail because people don't know the law. They don't understand the actual scope of what a police officer can do, and that comes down to understanding.
I understand that.
Ultimately,
what police officers can do and what they can't do, because I've been victimized by it. And I'm sure that there are many others of us who are on our forum that have the same experience. And I'm not a young black male. I'll be 52 in a month. And when I was victimized by police, that was 2010. So I wasn't young then. And I had done nothing. And they incited this whole thing. So for me, that was one too many. And it's very personal for me.
Put the phone down and walk.
When Mike Brown was shot, there was a federal investigation done by the DOJ, and they found so much corruption in that whole city that they were giving out tickets basically to all the poor blacks there. I mean, statistics from the FBI just showed the amount of evidence that's showing a disparity in the treatment between blacks and whites in the justice system. We would be seriously wasting time even arguing that point because the evidence is so huge there. So I'm kind of curious as to where you're getting your numbers from, because that argument is, I mean, we're way past that point now. We know that there is a problem when the disparity between blacks and whites. Blacks are only 11% of the population, take up almost 74% of the prison population in this country. Those numbers alone,
right,
you can't say just blacks are born
right,
white.
But that's also understandable when you take into consideration the crimes. For example, like I grew up in Minneapolis. I don't know what cities you guys grew up in, but I had a lot of family from Chicago, Milwaukee, in the Midwest area, mm-hmm. Detroit. And all of those cities, every single one of them, you can name any other major city, New York, Philadelphia, D.C., L.A., Seattle, we can go through the list, Dallas, Houston. What do you see being done in almost every major city in America? Is you have a lot of young black and Hispanic men who engage in aggressive criminal activity. You can't deny that. I mean, gang activity in my city alone, people from Chicago came in during the 90s in waves, and they brought that whole gang culture up here with them. And our city's got a massive problem. We had a massive amount of young guys between the ages of 16 and 24 getting killed through gang violence.
So what about the mob? What about the mob in every
true,
city?
No?
Let me say this,
please, before I forget this one point. I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah, there are many invaders in that activity, but there are a greater number who aren't. The problem is that the police can't tell the difference.
Well, I agree with you. Yes, but what I'm trying to say is, at the same time, when you throw out that number of, well, there's 74% of the jails are filled with black men, you have to also be honest about the criminal situation in this country. Now, whether you can talk about what are the factors that cause people to live that lifestyle. My brother was a drug dealer, so I understand that. But what I'm saying is, you have to also take into account that that's just the truth, that we have a problem in our culture where we have a lot of young black men who not only do they do it because they're in poverty, but there's an incentive, and the whole criminal lifestyle is glorified, especially through our music. Let's just be honest. I mean, I grew up in a city where all of my friends in high school, every single one of them, started selling drugs before they turned 15. Everybody I knew was selling crack. All of them got into gangs. Everybody in my entire high school, every male, black male in my entire high school got into gangs, or was it some type of drug dealing group? Okay, that's my
Mike,
entire
right,
high school.
Hold on, I got to bring somebody in because they've been having a hand up for a minute, and they've been very patient. It's all good. It's all good, my dude. Let me bring. I think this is Jeff. That kid is coming back. Where's he at? Jeff, your mic is live, brother. You hear me?
Hey, look, real quick as I can do it. With all due respect to the brother that was just talking right now, all he's doing is convoluting this whole thing. Listen, why must black people be the only people on the planet that always have to think, hey, guys, you got to think about this. Hey, guys, let's take into consideration this. You want to know something? Do something to a gay person, and let's see, with all due respect to gay people, do something to a gay person, and let's see how much they think about it. Let's see how much they think about the bottom dollar. Let's see how much they go, well, this is a business and we got to understand this too. No, it doesn't happen. You want to know something else? Kill a dog, Mike Vick. And let's see how much people understand that the Atlanta Falcons are running a business here. And when they're saying, well, this guy did something allegedly, we don't know what's going on, but we're going to stand by. Oh, no, that's just not good enough. We don't want to hear your bottom line. Why are black folks the only folks on the planet that always have to think of another person's bottom line? And how we got on the issue of what rap music is doing, you know, I don't even know how we got there. But you know, that's kind of like this purposeful taking you over a different kind of terrain to get you off. The fact of the matter is, people should not be watching NFL football this season. If they do, that is on them. That's their choice. I hope they enjoy it. But the brother, with all due respect to him, please spare me that. Because you're actually reinforcing what society is telling us, is that we are the only people. One of you just said so immaculately about the Jewish people. You think they sitting up watching a German movie about their destruction? They don't think about bottom line. Somebody's always telling a black person, think about it. Think about what you guys are doing. Now, these are businessmen after. We got to stop thinking and start thinking. If that makes any sense at all. I just he done messed up my cable talk, man, with this convolution, man. Man, look,
That wasn't convolution. One of the brothers on the show mentioned the fact that 74% of the men in jail are black. And so what I wanted to bring up with the fact was that they're not in prison because these are just a bunch of innocent guys who the police just ran and just grabbed off the street and drug them to prison. That's not the case. The vast majority of them are there because they committed a crime. And to act as if black people are just victim to a prison industrial complex is a lie. Because I grew up in where people are committing crimes, and you got young black men terrorizing their own neighbors, their own people.
What does that have to do with Colin Kaepernick not getting a fair shot to play NFL football?
It has a lot to do with Colin Kaepernick was trying to present a narrative as if there's this massive systematic injustice towards black men in this country. And what I'm saying is, look at the statistics. It's not the case.
Okay.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
No, we're near the case.
Hey, brothers, with that being said, I don't want to take up the rest of the time. You know, that's one of those things where if that's a person's point of view with everything that's right in front of them, there's nothing that I can do about that. So, yo, peace to y'all. I'm going to continue to listen, man. Y'all be good.
Okay, brother.
All right. See,
yeah, I'm not going to waste my time on that subject.
So the finals.
That's ridiculous.
Let's move on to the finals real quick, gentlemen. All right, no problem. Like I said, who's going to take the lead in this? Who's going to take the first comment on this?
Oh, if you brothers don't mind, I would like to, because I feel like I'm eating a whole lot of crow right now.
Brother.
I was thinking, my brother. I was the guy that said they was going to go to game two and just sweep and take it on out from there. And it felt like a fill-out game. And Clay wasn't going to get 30 because he's out of rhythm. Man, I've been shot down on all my points. So, hey. I have to give hats off to Golden State. I mean, they're executing. I mean, you know, they're not making any silly mistakes. They're executing. KD is killing LeBron on the individual matchup. In the fourth quarter in this series so far, score differential is 32-11 in the fourth quarter. So,
hold on for a second. Is somebody in the supermarket or something?
Oh, shit, I'm still on the phone. My bad. Yo, I'm the worst. I am the worst thing that ever happened to y'all show ever, dude.
No,
I'm hanging up right now.
You don't have to hang up.
I'm going to put you on mute. I got you on mute, Jeff.
I'm going to see you, Jeff.
You want me to repeat that?
Yeah, I want you to repeat that, big guy, because I was like, hold on, somebody's in a supermarket? It's all good.
Oh, okay. No, it's all good. No, what I was saying was that just looking at the game, I'm almost starting even to question Tyrone Lue coaching, because Cleveland seems like they're doing things out of desperation. I mean, you got
49.3 seconds left in the game, and Cleveland is up by two. They don't. Golden State doesn't have any shot blockers. Durant is in there. Green had five fouls, and the paint was open all night long. So I'm not, not sure why LeBron drove to the left side and kicked it out to Korver. I don't have a problem with the kick out to Korver because Jordan has kicked it out to Golden State's coach for to win games, okay? So I don't have a problem with that. I just didn't understand. I felt that he could have went on ahead. You know, he was able to get in the paint at will against them that night. I didn't understand why he didn't go ahead and do that. And then on that very same possession, he comes back down the court and lets KD walk into a 27-foot three-pointer for the game.
Right.
I'm like, dude, I understand that, you know, the comparisons between Kobe and Mike and all that, but, and you know, I bet on the Cavs, and I'm still going to roll with the Cavs. I'm not going to jump ship because that would be weak.
I'm
but
okay.
I got to call LeBron out on that. I'm going to check KD when he gets at half court. We're down two games. We're at home. We're playing for pride. You're not getting the ball.
Right.
That ball better go to somebody else because it ain't going to you.
Right.
And he just watched him take that three right in his face. So I got to call LeBron out on that. Like I said, in the fourth quarter, KD is outscoring LeBron 34-11. LeBron got to step it up, man, and take that personal challenge that KD is taking against him. He's giving him the business. And that's the difference in this series. It's not that Golden State got more talent. You know, LeBron outscored KD. Kyrie outscored Curry. But Golden State's executing down the stretch, man.
Can I get in on this real quick? Excellent points, Big E. LeBron is spent by the end of the game. He played 47 minutes in game three. And people don't take that into factor. And KD and the rest of them have played 35, 37 minutes. That's a big difference. And what you said about him letting KD walk to that three-pointer, I see that all the time. And, you know, I play ball. And so me as a ball player, when I see that, I know where a guy's spot is. Usually I go stand in that spot. You know, you realize where a guy's comfort zone is. So you stand where you know his range extends to. Nobody does that to Curry. Nobody does that to Klay. Nobody does it to KD. And that's why they shoot so many threes and they shoot them well.
Well, that's great points all around. And I'm at a little disadvantage because, honestly, I have barely watched 2 minutes of this whole final.
Really?
You know, I just, for some reason, I'm just not, I think I'm a little bit less motivated than Cleveland is. And I think that, you know, KD has something that he wants to prove. LeBron beat him, and all of the comparisons and so forth, that he has something he wants to prove. Golden State definitely has something they want to prove after last year. And I don't know if Cleveland just got complacent with it. You know, sometimes you taste that victory, and then you just think that everything else is just gravy, and you don't understand that, you know, there's a reset button. As soon as that Game 7 ended last year, they're all now 0-0, and it all starts over. And I don't know if Cleveland is still playing the house money. I don't know what it is, but I've just – everything I know about this series has basically been through social media. I haven't watched ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched any of the highlights. So everything you guys have basically told me everything that I know about the series. You know, and I don't know much more than the fact that Cleveland is down 0-3. That's all I really know about the series. So I enjoy listening to you brothers break it down.
Thank you, David.
I'm watching. I got the Knicks game on right now.
Hey, brother Jeff, you wanted to speak? You're live, brother.
Yeah, real quick, man. I'm kind of, you know what? I haven't watched every single game, and I turned into a real bad predictor because my philosophy was every time I watch a full game.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, like the underdog team wins, and Cleveland was the underdog here. When I don't watch it, you know, the Golden State would win. So I actually wanted Cleveland to win a game the other night, so I set up and watched it, and all I accomplished was drinking too much beer because they still lost.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm going to say with Cleveland and Golden State is, listen, man, I know we have a lot of fun with the memes and stuff. They are hilarious. I love them.
Yeah.
I love seeing people harass Bron and KD, because it's all good in sports. But when we start getting serious, and when these guys start becoming cowards and pussies and all of these things that, and I start seeing like certain men. I made a video about this yesterday. Like when we get a little too attached to
mm-hmm.
complete strangers. These are just athletes, dude. They wouldn't know anybody on this phone. If we went and stood in front of Golden State Arena or Cleveland Arena, we would not get in. These are just athletes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just here for our entertainment. Golden State is a great team. They were going to be a great team whether KD came or not. I believe that Golden State was going to be in the finals again whether KD came or not. Let us not forget, Golden State was really – now, there's no excuse for how they choked last year. But if Draymond Green – does not get one of the most bogus suspensions in the history of the NBA, Golden State possibly would have won last year. Like, we just
right.
don't know. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. So I salute KD. I salute KD because, listen, in my life, I'm an entrepreneur. And one thing that I take
mm-hmm.
pride in is being able to make my own decisions and having to deal with the repercussions of what those decisions are. You
right.
know, and oftentimes in life, many of us are in positions where we just simply can't say, "Hey, man, I've been working at UPS for, you know, 8 years. FedEx has been kicking our ass. I'm taking my talents over to FedEx." And then you just get up and then you just bounce. We don't
mm-hmm.
we don't have that luxury. We don't have that option. And you know what? That translates over to sports. We may think the guy left because he couldn't beat him. I personally think a big reason that KD left is because he did not like playing with Russell Westbrook. I think that he
right.
put his time into OKC just like Bron put his time into Cleveland.
Cleveland.
And the only thing
right.
LeBron – I don't like saying right or wrong, but the only thing I thought was silly about LeBron going to Miami is just the whole announcement thing. Like, dude, if you're going. If you're going, go. And go win your championships. But he did raise $5 million for the Boys Club, so I ain't tripping. So
right.
I got Cleveland tonight only because of the memes. Because when you put LeBron James in the skirt on a meme, and when Jason Whitlock, when Master Shine starts talking about how horrible of a just everything LeBron is, he was on there talking about racism again today. I'm like, damn, Jason.
Yeah.
We talking about sports, my dude. He was talking about, when we get on LeBron – it's racism. I'm like, you are a master shine. So because of
mm-hmm.
the master shine, because of King Sambo, because of Stefan from Django, and because of the Bron meme with the dress, I got Cleveland tonight going back to Golden State for five, fellas. That's what I got. And big up to KD and Bron. They are the kind of ball players that when I'm home in my socks, shooting the sock up in the hamper, I'm doing KD
mm-hmm.
and Bron moves straight up.
Well
said. Hey, look, man, listen, we have fun with these guys, man. And one thing about me, I'm gonna hopefully talk to you guys off show one day. And, you know,
right.
I do this podcast, and I've always had an opportunity, being in Atlanta, I've always had an opportunity to talk to a lot of entertainers and athletes. And I've turned a lot of it down. It's just that my character is, if I sense arrogance or if you're too full of yourself, I don't want to deal with you. I've never been a give me your autograph, let's take a picture guy. I just don't care
right.
enough. So the way that I look at sports is sports is for this entertainment of mine while I'm sitting there for the moment. When I don't even go to games, but if I do go to games, listen, LeBron, dunk. If I'm sitting in the front row, dunk, run by, give somebody high five. When the game is over, Moody, want to meet Bron? And then, nah, not really. Well, I mean, what are we going to talk about? Is there a business opportunity in this? Because if not, Bron, go back to the locker room. Great game. Fuck out of my face. So that's always been me. So I don't put a lot of investment in mental and,
right.
and spiritual investments in these athletes. These are well-paid employees, like a lawyer would be, like a doctor would be, like any other position. They just so happen to be on the national stage. So may the best team win. I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm Brooklyn all day. I rock with the Brooklyn Nets. We're never going to the finals. And those are my closing words.
Well said. Well said. Brothers.
Thank you.
Anything? Anybody got anything else? Because the game is about to start. And I know we all want to watch the game.
Nothing.
Nothing? We got
nothing
nada?
For me.
I want to thank y'all for another blazing show.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And
definitely.
Thank you for being a
great
part of
show.
It. And thank y'all all for calling, tuning in, and supporting us. We respect and salute y'all for doing
Cavs
that.
Cavs playing for pride tonight. That's all I got to say. Cavs playing for pride, please.
Yeah.
All right, brothers.
Indeed.
All
salute,
right.
fellas. Salute.
All right.
Salute
hey,
to
James,
you, too.
Brother.
Another great episode of In the Paint, The Real is Showing Sports. Calling numbers 347-426-3634. My man Crayon's going to take us out. Like the brother said, I think Cleveland is going to, it's a pride game. So it's going back to Golden State. And I think Cleveland is going to win tonight. So peace. Have a blessed weekend. Holla at y'all on Monday. Take us out, Crayon.
Yo, my man Max 611's, mine's like a weapon. Big brother, off the new bubbles in New York. We walk the walk and we talk the talk. Got some serious sports fans who bark from the heart. Sophisticated talk for your modern day fan. Your number one resource for your fantasy draft. The illest sports show, all you cats got to know. Already we the greatest, imitators got to go. We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to shake the stage to the hear us out of space. Where opinions are expressed with rugged intellect. Put it down to represent for the team you love the best. The Knicks, the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, the Johnnies, the Orangemen, the Huskies, the Jets. And yes, the Islanders, the Devils, and Rangers. When the East is in the house, oh my God, danger.
We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to start the convo that'll keep you up to date. Yeah, we in the paint, got the game on smash. Put the whole sports world on blast. We in the paint, getting hot, cause we turning up a notch. On the streets with the realest sports talk. We in the paint, meet me at in the fields tonight. Keep it real, nothing sweet, nothing nice. We in the paint.
In the paint, the realest show in sports. Every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. The call-in number is 347-426-3634. Starring Mark Cunningham as Max 611 and Rodney Jones as Big Brother R.